Well, shalom, y'all. Just want to welcome you to this teaching. You know, great shalom have those who love his Torah. And it says that nothing will cause them to stumble. You know, it's because we love his Torah is the reason why we read his Torah and we study his Torah and why we apply it to our lives and why we have a desire to obey his Torah. And the reason why we want to walk in obedience to his word is because we love his Torah, and we love his Torah because we love him. We love Yeshua, who laid down his life for us. And because he loved us first, we now love him. Well, hallelujah. With that said, and because we love his word, we are going to jump into his word for this week. You know, I hope that you have had a wonderful season counting down the Omer to Shavuot. And I hope you've been counting. And this weekend, we will be celebrating Shavuot. So this week's teaching will be about the feast of Shavuot and what we can glean from that today. You know, Shavuot was a feast that had to do with the harvest. And we're going to talk about how we as believers today are playing a part and how we have been equipped to help our master and Lord Yeshua reap his harvest. You know, last week in our teaching, we talked about how we have been enlisted into the army of Yahweh, and our role in his army is to help further and advance the gospel of Yeshua, which ultimately is all about bringing in the harvest. And so this week we're going to talk about how we are empowered to go about that mission that we have been given to do. So let's go ahead and read our first passage for this week. And it's going to be Luke chapter 24 and verse 46. Then he, speaking of Yeshua, said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." So we see a couple of things here in these four verses. First of all, this is Yeshua speaking to his disciples. And here in this passage, we can see Yeshua telling them what their mission is to do once he is gone. And that mission was to go into the world, to go into all nations, and to preach repentance and remissions of sins. That is what we have been instructed to do. He has sent us into the world just like he sent his disciples into the world. Okay, so we go into the world preaching this message. Number one, the fact that we are all sinners, we have all missed the mark. And because we have all sinned, we all deserve death. And we are all headed towards hell. And there's only one answer. There's only one thing that can save us from the death that we deserve from breaking God's law. And that is by putting our belief in Yeshua, who came to this earth, died upon that tree, rose again on the third day. And by his blood, there is a remission of sins. By his blood, we are cleansed of all of our uncleanness. We are forgiven of all of our trespasses, of all of our sins. They are covered by his blood. So we are sent into the world to preach the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins by belief in Yeshua. And there is no other way to obtain a forgiveness of sins than through belief in Yeshua, believing that he died upon the tree for us, and by his blood we are forgiven of our sins, and that he rose from the grave on the third day. The other thing that this passage talks about is the concept of repentance. So we are going into the world to preach the remission of sins, and we're also going into the world to preach repentance, or the Hebrew word teshuvah, which means to turn from. So we're going into the world to preach and to share the fact that people need to be forgiven of their sins, and also they need to turn from their sins. So once we put our faith in Yeshua, now we begin to teach people that they need to turn from their lifestyle of sin. They need to turn from walking in the ways of this world, from walking in the lust of their flesh and the lust of their eyes and the pride of life. And they now need to submit themselves to the word of God. That is what repentance is. Turning from a lifestyle of disobedience to God's word, including his Torah, and now submitting ourselves to obedience to his word, including the Torah as well. So that's the message that we are to go into the world, preaching to all nations. Now, one of the things he tells them here, before they were to go into the nations, he tells them to tarry or to wait in the city of Jerusalem until they are endued with power from on high. Now, remember, Shavuot, the Festival of Weeks, is what it would be called in English. Some would call it Pentecost. That is derived from the Greek word 50 days. It's the counting of the 50 days from first fruits. And so when Yeshua is speaking to his disciples, he is in this time period where he is counting the Omer. Him and his disciples are counting the Omer until the season or the feast of Shavuot. So he tells them to go and tarry and wait in Jerusalem. Now, it is said that he was on the earth for 40 days after his resurrection. And so this is his last words to his disciples before he ascends into the heavenly. So he's been on the earth for 40 days. We know that Shavuot is on day 50. So they're going to go and they're going to tarry in Jerusalem for about 10 days. But the idea here is that they were to wait for the promise that was given to them before they go on the mission he had given them to do. And the reason for this was they were not to go and try to do this mission without the promise of the Father. They weren't to go and try to do it on their own power, but they were going to receive something from the Father, which we're going to get here in a bit, because they knew what was coming and they knew when it was coming, because they knew the Feast of Weeks was right around the corner. They were counting the days till that day. Okay. And they were going to receive this promise from the Father. And with that, they were going to get a power from on high to accomplish this task, which was a supernatural task. They were fighting against a supernatural enemy. We spoke about that last week as we talked about being in the army of Yahweh and how we are out there fighting, and we don't fight against flesh and blood, but we are fighting against the spiritual forces of this dark world. So because of that, we need the promise of the Father to be successful in our mission. So let's look at when Yeshua spoke of this promise to his disciples. So we're going to go to John chapter 14 and verse 16. Now, this is just one of the times that he spoke about it to his disciples. He says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." So here in this passage with his disciples, when he's speaking about the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of the Father. He, Yeshua, is calling the Spirit of the Father a helper. So when Yeshua goes to be with his Father, he says, you're going to receive the promise of the Father. You're going to receive his Spirit. And his Spirit is going to be a helper. So he's going to help you along the task and the mission that I am giving you to do. He's also going to help you in teaching you all things and how to walk in my ways, how to walk in set apartness, how to apply my word to your life every single day to give you power to walk in obedience and give you power to be a witness for me to the nations of the world. And listen what he says. He says that this promise that the Spirit of the Father is going to abide, or he's going to remain or stay with you, which is actually going to be in you, for he says he's going to dwell in you. So the Spirit of the Father is going to dwell in you, and it will be forever. So his Holy Spirit is not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you, right? He says, I will not leave you as an orphan. An orphan being a child who is abandoned by his parents. Okay, so I will not abandon you. I will not leave you, but I will stay with you. His Spirit will stay with you forever. He will live in you. Hallelujah. And that is what we can eagerly look forward to as we celebrate Shavuot, is one of the things we can be praying for and eagerly awaiting and believing and trusting for and expecting, is that fresh outpouring of his set apart Spirit. And we can also know that his Spirit is living and dwelling in us, and he never leaves us and he never forsakes us. Hallelujah. And that we have his Spirit living in us, giving us the power to be his witnesses and also the power to walk in obedience to his word and to be set apart, so that we can be light unto the world and we can be salt to the earth. Hallelujah. Let's look at the prophet Joel. He spoke of the promise of what would happen when the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon Yahweh's people. So this is Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of Yahweh. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of Yahweh shall be saved, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as Yahweh has said, among the remnant whom Yahweh calls. So here in this passage, the prophet Joel is telling us that when the Father pours out his Spirit, he's going to pour it out on all flesh who believe in Yeshua, who are a part of his new covenant. He's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, not just on a select handful of prophets, but upon all flesh, okay? On sons and daughters, okay? On old men and young men. So it's going to be on men, women, old, young. Doesn't matter age, doesn't matter gender. His Spirit is going to be poured out on all, okay? And well, how does he do this? He says, so they will prophesy. So he puts his Spirit inside of us so that we will be what? Enabled. Or we become a vessel now, empowered by the living God to be his mouthpiece to the nations of the world, to prophesy, to speak forth his word, to declare his word to the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. And we see here in the last verse that it shall come to pass, whoever calls on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. That is the very purpose upon why he is pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh, to empower us to go about the work, to prophesy, so that people in the nations of the world, so that the nations of the world will call upon the name of Yahweh. That is our main purpose. That is our main goal, is to be out there being his mouthpiece so that people will see us being light unto the world, seeing us be salt, walking in the Father's way, right? And by that, they will hopefully decide to call upon the name of Yahweh as we also proclaim the good news of Yeshua. And it's to those that call upon his name, they will be the ones that will be saved. So if you want to be saved, you have to put your belief in Yeshua. You have to believe in him for the remission of sins, and you have to live a lifestyle of repentance. As we said, Yeshua told them that they would receive power from on high. Now we think about this word power here. Now, when we look at the original word there, it speaks of a dynamic, a very powerful power. It's actually the word where we get the word dynamite from. So it's a very explosive power. So when you think about that word, I think of more of a supernatural power or a miraculous power. So that's the kind of power that they are being given from on high. They are being given a power that is above any power that they could ever walk in or achieve on their own. They are receiving a spiritual, or you could say a supernatural power that is working inside of them. And it's all about what? Achieving the goal that he has given them. Now remember, Shavuot is a feast about the harvest. This would be a time that they would bring an offering from their harvest to Yahweh. So it's all about the harvest. So if we think about where we are now in the timeline, and we are between the spring and the fall feast, right? The spring feast speak of Yeshua's first coming. When he came the first time, and he died upon that tree, and then he was buried, and he rose from that grave. He fulfilled the feast of Passover, and the feast of unleavened bread, and the feast of first fruits, and his first appearing. When he comes for his second appearing, he is going to fulfill the feast of the fall feast. So we are right now in the middle of that. And in the middle of that, we have this feast of Shavuot, which is about the harvest. And what have we been instructed to do? But to go into the world and to preach the good news of Yeshua. Or you could say, we have been sent to go into the world to work the harvest and to reap a harvest, the harvest field for Yeshua. That's what we are about. We should be busy working the harvest field of Yeshua. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Then Yeshua went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So here in this passage, we see Yeshua tying in the concept of going to the nations, to the idea of the harvest. He says that there is not enough laborers out there for the harvest that is out there to be reaped. When you think about how he speaks of the nations of the world, he says they are like a sheep having no shepherd, meaning they are scattered, they are lost. Well, that's where the world is right now. Those who do not have a belief in Yeshua are like a sheep having no shepherd. They are scattered, they are tired, and they are lost. And he, seeing them, had compassion on them because he knew what the end result was for those who was living their life without no shepherd. If we have a compassion for the world around us, see, we know what's in front of them. We know what the future holds for them. If they do not put their faith in Yeshua and if they do not repent. So we need to be compelled with the same compassion that Yeshua was compelled with. His compassion drove him to want to reach the lost people. And we should have a desire to reach the lost people of the world, of the nations in this world. So we need to be willing to be a laborer in the field, to be willing to go out there and work the harvest and reap the harvest, but also not just being one who's willing to be a laborer of the harvest, but we also need to pray for laborers to come along and help us work the field and to bring in his harvest. Let's look at John chapter 4 and verse 27. At this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no one said, "What do you seek? Or why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water pot, went her way into the city and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore, the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought anything to eat?" Yeshua said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages, gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors." Now, let's dissect this a little bit here. Now, this passage here is dealing with Yeshua when he was at the well. This was when he had spoken to the woman about being the living water, and he reveals to her that she has multiple husbands, and so she perceives that he is the Messiah based upon what he has told her. So she leaves her water pot there at the well, and she runs into the city from where she is to say to the men, to tell the people in the city that she has found the Messiah. So what you can see here is Yeshua is laboring in the harvest, in the field, while his disciples were off, right? They were at the marketplace, I believe is where they were at this time. And so when they had come back, you know, they're concerned because they're wanting to feed him food. And he's like, "Well, I don't need food because I am my food." He says, "I don't need food because my food is to do the will of my Father." Well, what was he doing? As I just said, he was working the harvest field. He was out there basically sharing the message of himself to this woman at the well. And it's the same for us. His mission, the will of his Father who sent him into the world, is the same for us today in the fact that we are to go into the world, into the field, sharing the good news or the message of Yeshua. That is what our spiritual food is, to do the will of our Father. We want to walk in obedience. We want to walk in his ways. But along with that, we also need to be obedient to the mission that he has given us to do. And that is to go into his field and to work, to share the good news of Yeshua to the four nations of the world. That mission, that instruction is just as important as the ones that we find in the Torah. So they come back, and what does he tell them? He says, look up. Look up, for the harvest is here, right? He says, it's already, the field's already white for the harvest. Now, when they're looking up to see this, this is probably as the time that all the men of the city is coming back to the well to see this Messiah that this woman had told them about. So all these people are coming to the well to see the Messiah, okay? So now the disciples are now going to get to reap of the labor that Yeshua had been laboring with the woman at the well. They hadn't done any work, but they're about to be a part of the harvesting or the reaping of that work as they come back to the well. So that's where he's talking about this idea that one sows and one reaps. So it's something that we also want to think about in terms of this mission that we have been given to do. And that is, it is a teamwork type mission. Of course, we all labor together and work together in fulfilling this purpose and this mission we have been given to do. You know, some of us will go out and you'll share the message, and that person may not turn from their sin right away, but you may plant a seed that eventually one day when someone else comes and talks to that person, they may be able at that time to reap from the seed that you planted sometime before. We also can see that we are in a commission, or we are laboring together with the Spirit of God. We could never accomplish this task without the Spirit of God. In fact, his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, plays a very significant role in this whole thing, because it's by his Spirit that the nations of the world will receive a conviction for their sin. It's not about how elegant we are when we speak. It's not about us saying it the perfect way when we talk to people. It's not about saying the right words, saying it in the right tone, being convincing enough. It's not about that. It's all about his Spirit. His Spirit is needed to convict their heart. And it's through his Spirit that they ultimately will be opened, their eyes will be opened to see Yeshua as their Messiah, as their Redeemer, as the one who died upon that tree to forgive them of all their sins, and the fact that they need that forgiveness. So let's go ahead and look in Scripture here at the day of Shavuot. I mean, hey, this is a message about Shavuot. What would this be without actually reading about that day of Shavuot? Remember, the disciples were told to tarry or to wait in Jerusalem until they received the promise from the Father. So let's read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And this is when the disciples received the promise from the Father. So Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost, or the day of Shavuot, had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, so as I said, they were told to tarry in Jerusalem. So here they are. They've been sitting in Jerusalem for probably about 10 days now. The day of Shavuot, the feast of Shavuot, has fully come. It is upon them. And it talks about how when they were in this one place, that they were of one accord. Or you could say they were of one mind, working together for the same goal. And I would say a goal that was bigger than themselves. Remember, they were told that they were being sent into the world and they were charged to bring the message of Yeshua to the nations of the world. That right there was a mission that was bigger than themselves. And they knew that they all needed to be together, be in unity together in order to accomplish this task that they were given to do. You know, I think if we were to keep our minds on this task, upon the mission that we have been given to do, we wouldn't have time to worry about all the little silly debates about every little small doctrine that is out there. But if we can choose to just have a difference of opinion, but have a single mind regarding having the same goal and the fact that we all believe in Yeshua, that he has cleansed us of all of our sins, and that we have been given a mission to go into the world and to preach his message. If we can unify ourselves on that, to be of one accord on that goal and come together on that, then we can be a body of believers and we can see the same things that this early body of believers had, the results that we see and read of in the book of Acts. And I believe as we approach the end that we're going to see his Spirit poured out again and working in the believers across this earth, just like it was during that time period, that we are going to begin to see his Spirit moving amongst his believers to empower us to go about this mission. He is going to put his power, his passion for this mission in the heart of his believers, and he is going to charge them, and they're going to get out there and they are going to begin to do the work, and we're going to see the same things that we read of in Acts again today, because we are fighting a supernatural enemy. So we need to see supernatural things happening in order to defeat the supernatural enemy. And the world is only getting darker. That means those that are walking in his ways are going to shine even brighter and are even going to walk in a greater degree of power to overcome the darkness that is in the world around us. And it's interesting, upon them being filled with the Spirit, upon them receiving this power, we see that the thing that is affected by the believers is their tongue. The first thing we see here is they begin to speak with their tongue. So upon receiving power, he puts a power in them to begin to speak. And that is the very purpose of why he has given us his Holy Spirit, to give us the power to speak. And what is that to speak? His good news, his gospel, to carry forth the message that he has given us to do. Now, here in this instance, they're going to speak with tongues, different languages at that time. And we're going to read here about how there are some of different languages heard them speaking of the things of God in their language. And because of them hearing this, they began to give praise unto God. So he not only gave them the boldness to speak, the urgency to speak, and so they spoke, but he also gives them a gift in order to speak a language that they had never learned, so that someone else could hear the message and the words that he had put on the inside of them as well. Acts chapter 2 and verse 11. Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our tongues the wonderful works of God. I didn't read the verse before. The verse before speaks of even other nations that had heard them speaking. And what were they speaking? The wonderful works of God. At the end of this chapter, we read and we see of how 3,000 people would turn their hearts to Yahweh on this day. You know, after this incident occurs, Peter stands up and he preaches a message. And what is his message about? It's about Yeshua and how he died upon that tree. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. And how they needed to put their belief in him in order to receive the remission of sin. And upon them hearing this message, it says that they were cut unto their hearts. Or that means that they received the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And they cried out, "What must we do to be saved?" Hallelujah. That's what his Spirit is all about. So as we go into this weekend, as we celebrate Shavuot, let us look back at what happened here in the early body of believers. I would even encourage you to go and read through, you know, the first half of this book and see the works that the early body of believers did, the miracles that God did through them in order to accomplish the mission that he had given them to do. So just as the disciples were told to tarry and to wait in Jerusalem for the filling or for the promise of the Father. See, they knew what was coming. They knew that on Shavuot, they were going to receive the Holy Spirit. We know what Shavuot is all about. We know what the Father wants to do. So let's be a people who are expecting, who are desiring and wanting the Holy Spirit in such a degree and to see the Holy Spirit moving and operating in our lives just as it was in the early body of believers so that we will be equipped the same way they were. Let's believe that we can do the same things that they did. Not because of our ability, but because of his Spirit living inside of us. Just as they were filled with the Spirit, just as the Spirit came and lived inside of them, the Holy Spirit will come and live inside of us. So we can lay our hands on the sick and they will recover. We can stand up and preach the good news of Yeshua and people will hear his message and they will be convicted in their hearts, not because of our ability, but because of the work of the Holy Spirit. So let's believe for a fresh outpouring of his Spirit. And let's expect to begin to walk in a greater power when it comes to walking in his Spirit. A greater power when it comes to walking in obedience to his word. A greater power when it comes to being a witness for Yeshua to the nations of the world. Hallelujah. Well, I really hope that this has blessed you. And like, I just want to say this one thing. Let's not forget about the harvest. Let's be busy working in the field. Well, I hope this has blessed you. And we will be back again next week with another teaching. So I hope that you will be back to join us for that teaching. So come back and shalom, y'all.